Here's the sinner to appear in your presence. And you, how do you condescend to come to the sinner? You know your servant, and you know that he has nothing good in him, that you should grant him this. I confess, therefore, my unworthiness. I acknowledge your goodness. I praise your mercy and give thanks for your immense love. For it is because of yourself that you do it, not for any merit of mine, so that your goodness may be better known to me, that greater love may be aroused and more perfect humility born in me. Since then this pleases you, and you have so willed it, your graciousness pleases me also. Oh, that my sinfulness may not stand in the way. Oh, most sweet and merciful Jesus, what great reverence, thanks, and never-ending praise are due to you for our taking of your sacred body, whose dignity no man can express. But on what shall I think in this communion, this approach to my Lord, whom I can never reverence as I ought, and yet whom I desire devoutly to receive? What thought better, more helpful to me, than to humble myself entirely in your presence and exalt your infinite goodness above myself? I praise you, my God, and extol you forever. I despise myself and cast myself before you in the depths of my unworthiness. Behold, you are the Holy of Holies, and I the scum of sinners. Behold, you bow down to me, who am not worthy to look up to you. Behold, you come to me. You will to be with me. You invite me to your banquet. You desire to give me heavenly food, the bread of angels to eat, none other than yourself, the living bread who are come down from heaven and give life to the world. Behold whence love proceeds. What condescension shines forth. What great thanks and praise are due you for these gifts. Oh, how salutary and profitable was your design in this institution. How sweet and pleasant the banquet when you gave yourself as food. How admirable is your work, O Lord. How great your power. How infallible your truth. For you spoke, and all things were made, and this which you commanded was done. It is a wonderful thing, worthy of faith, overpowering human understanding, that you, O Lord, my God, true God and man, are contained whole and entire under the appearance of a little bread and wine, and without being consumed are eaten by him who receives you. You, the Lord of the universe, who have need of nothing, have willed to dwell in us by means of your sacrament. Keep my heart and body clean, so that with a joyous and spotless conscience I may be able often to celebrate your mysteries, and to receive for my eternal salvation what you have ordained and instituted for your special honor and as an everlasting memorial. Rejoice, my soul, and give thanks to God for having left you so noble a gift and so special a consolation in this valley of tears. As often as you renew this mystery and receive the body of Christ, so often do you enact the work of redemption and become a sharer in all the merits of Christ, for the love of Christ never grows less, and the wealth of his mercy is never exhausted. Therefore you should prepare yourself for it by constantly renewing your heart and pondering deeply the great mystery of salvation. As often as you celebrate or hear Mass, it should seem as great, as new, as sweet to you as if on that very day Christ became man in the womb of the Virgin, or hanging on the cross suffered and died for the salvation of man. The third chapter. It is profitable to receive communion often. The disciple. Behold, I come to you, Lord, that I may prosper by your gift and be delighted at your holy banquet, which you, O God, in your sweetness have prepared for your poor. Behold, all that I can or ought to desire is in you. You are my salvation and my redemption, my hope and strength, my honor and glory. Gladden then this day the soul of your servant, because I have raised my heart to you, O Lord Jesus. I long to receive you now, devoutly and reverently. I desire to bring you into my house, that with Zacchaeus I may merit your blessing and be numbered among the children of Abraham. My soul longs for your body. My heart desires to be united with you. Give me yourself. It is enough. For without you there is no consolation. Without you, I cannot exist. Without your visitation, I cannot live. I must often come to you, therefore, and receive the strength of my salvation, lest, deprived of this heavenly food, I grow weak on the way. Once, most merciful Jesus, while preaching to the people and healing their many ills, you said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Footnote 49, Matthew 15:32. Deal with me likewise, you who have left yourself in this sacrament for the consolation of the faithful. You are sweet refreshment to the soul, and he who eats you worthily will be a sharer in and an heir to eternal glory. It is necessary, indeed, for me, who fall and sin so often, who so quickly become lax and weak, to renew, cleanse, and inflame myself through frequent prayer, confession, and the holy reception of your body, lest perhaps by abstaining too long I fall away from my holy purpose. For from the days of his youth the senses of men are prone to evil, and unless divine aid strengthens him, he quickly falls deeper. But holy communion removes him from evil and confirms him in good. If I am so often careless and lax when I celebrate or communicate, what would happen if I did not receive this remedy and seek so great a help? Although I am neither fit nor properly disposed to celebrate every day, yet I will do my best at proper times to receive the divine mysteries and share in this great grace. This indeed is the one chief consolation of the faithful soul when separated from you by mortality, that often mindful of her God, she receives her beloved with devout recollection. O wonderful condescension of your affection toward us, that you, the Lord God, creator and giver of life to all, should see fit to come to a poor soul and to appease her hunger with all your divinity and humanity. O happy mind and blessed soul which deserves to receive you, her Lord God, and in receiving you is filled with spiritual joy. How great a master she entertains, what a beloved guest she receives, how sweet a companion she welcomes, how true a friend she gains, how beautiful and noble is the spouse she embraces. Beloved and desired above all things that can be loved and desired, let heaven and earth and all their treasures stand silent before your face. Most sweetly beloved, for whatever glory and beauty they have is of your condescending bounty, and they cannot approach the beauty of your name, whose wisdom is untold. The fourth chapter. Many blessings are given those who receive communion worthily. The disciple. O Lord my God, favor your servant with the blessings of your sweetness that I may merit to approach your magnificent sacrament worthily and devoutly. Lift up my heart to you and take away from me this heavy indolence. Visit me with your saving grace that I may in spirit taste your sweetness, which lies hidden in this sacrament like water in the depths of a spring. Enlighten my eyes to behold this great mystery, and give me strength to believe in it with firm faith. For it is your work, not the power of man, your sacred institution, not his invention. No man is able of himself to comprehend and understand these things which surpass even the keen vision of angels. How then shall I, an unworthy sinner, who am but dust and ashes, be able to fathom and understand so great a mystery? O Lord, I come to you at your command in simplicity of heart, in good, firm faith, with hope and reverence, and I truly believe that you are present here in this sacrament, God and man. It is your will that I receive you and unite myself to you in love. Wherefore I beg your mercy and ask that special grace be given me, that I may be wholly dissolved in you and filled with your love, no longer to concern myself with exterior consolations. For this, the highest and most worthy sacrament is the health of soul and body, the cure of every spiritual weakness. In it my defects are remedied, my passions restrained, and temptations overcome or allayed. In it greater grace is infused, growing virtue is nourished, faith confirmed, hope strengthened, and charity fanned into flame. You, my God, the protector of my soul, the strength of human weakness, and the giver of every interior consolation, have given and still do often give in this sacrament great gifts to your loved ones who communicate devoutly. Moreover, you give them many consolations amid their numerous troubles and lift them from the depths of dejection to the hope of your protection. With new graces you cheer and lighten them within, so that they who are full of anxiety and without affection before communion may find themselves changed for the better after partaking of this heavenly food and drink. Likewise, you so deal with your elect that they may truly acknowledge and plainly experience how weak they are in themselves, and what goodness and grace they obtain from you. For though in themselves they are cold, obdurate, and wanting in devotion, through you they become fervent, cheerful, and devout. Who indeed can humbly approach the fountain of sweetness and not carry away a little of it? Or who, standing before a blazing fire, does not feel some of its heat? You are a fountain always filled with superabundance. You are a fire ever burning that never fails. Therefore, while I may not exhaust the fullness of the fountain or drink to satiety, yet will I put my lips to the mouth of this heavenly stream, that from it I may receive at least some small drop to refresh my thirst and not wither away. And if I cannot as yet be all heavenly, or as full of fire as the cherubim and seraphim, yet I will try to become more devout and prepare my heart, so that I may gather some small spark of divine fire from the humble reception of this life-giving sacrament. Whatever is wanting in me, good Jesus, Savior most holy, do you in your kindness and grace supply for me. You who have been pleased to call all unto you, saying, Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. I, indeed, labor in the sweat of my brow. I am torn with sorrow of heart. I am laden with sin, troubled with temptations, enmeshed and oppressed by many evil passions. And there is none to help me, none to deliver and save me but you, my Lord God and Savior, to whom I entrust myself and all I have, that you may protect me and lead me to eternal life. For the honor and glory of your name receive me, you who have prepared your body and blood as food and drink for me. Grant, O Lord, my God and Savior, that by approaching your mysteries frequently, the zeal of my devotion may increase. The fifth chapter. The dignity of the sacrament and of the priesthood. The voice of Christ. Had you the purity of an angel and the sanctity of St. John the Baptist, you would not be worthy to receive or administer this sacrament. It is not because of any human meriting that a man consecrates and administers the sacrament of Christ and receives the bread of angels for his food. Great is the mystery, and great the dignity of priests to whom is given that which has not been granted the angels. For priests alone, rightly ordained in the Church, have power to celebrate Mass and consecrate the body of Christ. The priest indeed is the minister of God, using the word of God according to his command and appointment. God, moreover, is there, the chief author and invisible worker, to whom all is subject as he wills, to whom all are obedient as he commands. In this most excellent sacrament, therefore, you ought to believe in God rather than in your own senses or in any visible sign, and thus, with fear and reverence, draw near to such a work as this. Look to yourself and see whose ministry has been given you through the imposition of the bishop's hands. Behold, you have been made a priest, consecrated to celebrate Mass. See to it now that you offer sacrifice to God faithfully and devoutly at proper times, and that you conduct yourself blamelessly. You have not made your burden lighter. Instead, you are now bound by stricter discipline and held to more perfect sanctity. A priest ought to be adorned with all virtues and show the example of a good life to others. His way lies not among the vulgar and common habits of men, but with the angels in heaven and the perfect men on earth. A priest clad in the sacred vestments acts in Christ's place, that he may pray to God both for himself and for all people, in a suppliant and humble manner. He has before and behind him the sign of the Lord's cross that he may always remember the passion of Christ. It is before him on the chasuble, that he may look closely upon the footsteps of Christ and try to follow them fervently. It is behind him he is signed with it, that he may gladly suffer for God any adversities inflicted by others. He wears the cross before him that he may mourn his own sins, behind him that in pity he may mourn the sins of others, and know that he is appointed to stand between God and the sinner, never to become weary of prayer and the holy offering until it is granted him to obtain grace and mercy. When the priest celebrates Mass, he honors God, gladdens the angels, strengthens the church, helps the living, brings rest to the departed, and wins for himself a share in all good things. The sixth chapter, An Inquiry on the Proper Thing to Do Before Communion. The Disciple. When I consider your dignity, O Lord, and my own meanness, I become very much frightened and confused. For if I do not receive, I fly from life, and if I intrude unworthily, I incur your displeasure. What then shall I do, my God, my helper and adviser in necessity? Teach me the right way. Place before me some short exercise suitable for Holy Communion, for it is good to know in what manner I ought to make my heart ready devoutly and fervently for you, to receive your sacrament for the good of my soul, or even to celebrate so great and divine a sacrifice. The seventh chapter. The Examination of Conscience and the Resolution to Amend. The Voice of Christ. Above all, God's priest should approach the celebration and reception of this sacrament with the deepest humility of heart and suppliant reverence, with complete faith and the pious intention of giving honor to God. Carefully examine your conscience, then. Cleanse and purify it to the best of your power by true contrition and humble confession, that you may have no burden, know of no remorse, and thus be free to come near. Let the memory of all your sins grieve you, and especially lament and bewail your daily transgressions. Then, if time permits, confess to God in the secret depths of your heart all the miseries your passions have caused. Lament and grieve because you are still so worldly, so carnal, so passionate and unmortified, so full of roving lust, so careless in guarding the external senses, so often occupied in many vain fancies, so inclined to exterior things, and so heedless of what lies within, so prone to laughter and dissipation, and so indisposed to sorrow and tears, so inclined to ease and the pleasures of the flesh, and so cool to austerity and zeal, so curious to hear what is new and to see the beautiful, and so slow to embrace humiliation and dejection, so covetous of abundance, so niggardly in giving and so tenacious in keeping, so inconsiderate in speech, so reluctant in silence, so undisciplined in character, so disordered in action, so greedy at meals, so deaf to the word of God, so prompt to rest and so slow to labor, so awake to empty conversation, so sleepy in keeping sacred vigils and so eager to end them, so wandering in your attention, so careless in saying the office, so lukewarm in celebrating, so heartless in receiving, so quickly distracted, so seldom fully recollected, so quickly moved to anger, so apt to take offense at others, so prone to judge, so severe in condemning, so happy in prosperity, and so weak in adversity, so often making good resolutions, and carrying so few of them into action. When you have confessed and deplored these and other faults with sorrow and great displeasure because of your weakness, be firmly determined to amend your life day by day and to advance in goodness. Then, with complete resignation and with your entire will, offer yourself upon the altar of your heart as an everlasting sacrifice to the honor of my name by